The Elephant's Foot by Tim Jackson.
Melissa. Melissa, can you hear me? Are you listening? History repeats itself. First as comedy and then as tragedy. Or is it the other way around? All I know is, at 16, it didn't seem to matter. History was an unread book. Biology, a mystery of nature. And as for elephants, I had never heard their extraordinary cry. And all I knew about ivory was piano keys. But Melissa...
Joseph, would you come here a moment?
Melissa, I cared about...
You know it's my birthday tomorrow.
Yes.
I'm 21, Joe.
I know.
I'm 5 years older than you.
It doesn't matter.
When you're 21, I'll be...
26.
Nearly 30. Look at me.
Yes.
Can you see any wrinkles?
No.
Look harder.
Yes.
I knew it.
No, you're perfect.
You're not looking properly. You're hopeless.
You're beautiful, Melissa. You're beautiful.
Melissa was beautiful. Melissa was something to care about, even at 16, especially at 16. Melissa was all the history I wanted. That much I was sure of. And as for ivory, there was always Gloria's piano, which played out a constant musical score to the dramas that unfolded in the Clarkson household.
Good God Almighty in heaven above, will you look at this nonsense?
What is it, Mr. Clarkson? What's wrong?
Blasted CITES acting the belly fool again.
What is CITES?
Don't talk to me about CITES.
What is it?
Convention on the International Trade in Endangered Species.
What does that mean?
You may very well ask. If it's not one thing, it's another thing. Now they're getting restless about bloody elephants again.
Elephants?
Ivory, you see.
I see.
Got a very good man out there called Moses. Moses in the wilderness. Back, of course, but I can trust him. Nature is a delicate business, you know, really. How are you getting on with the piano?
Not too bad, thank you.
We all owe a lot to the elephants, and that's the truth of it. Endangered species like Gilead. Stupid belly bastards.
What on earth is all this shouting about? Was that you raising hell in here, Derek?
It's this bloody CITES nonsense all over again, Gloria.
I wish you'd show consideration for other people once in a while. Joseph is trying to practice.
Joseph is practicing.
How's it coming along, Joseph?
It's
comforting to know there's someone tickling the ivories.
The piano is a comfort.
Just let me know if it needs tuning, won't you?
Particularly in moments of despair.
Edward and I are going to Africa.
No!
Yes!
When? Why?
Mummy and Daddy have bought me Africa for my birthday.
You mean they've...
Not bought me Africa, silly. They're paying for me to go to Africa.
With Edward.
And Hans Grumbaum, who's going to be a famous painter, Mummy says. And Gabriella.
Why?
Because she's his wife.
Why are you going to Africa?
Because I'm 21.
But why Edward?
Edward is a very respectable person.
He's a slime ball.
That's a matter of opinion.
Like the existence of gravity.
I love Edward, Joe. It's as simple as that.
Frequent moments of despair. The Clarksons had what Derek called interests in Africa. Melissa had often been out there, usually in the company of some unfortunate artist wrestling under Gloria's misguided patronage.
You and I see eye to eye on art, Grunbaum. Am I right or am I right?
Of course, madam.
What I want from you, Hans, is something romantic. You understand me? Don't give me accuracy. I want picturesque.
I don't like picturesque.
Practice on my husband if you like. Goodness, if you can make Derek look picturesque, you'll have no trouble with water buffalo.
Well,
as you probably know, Grunbaum's best work is characterized by bold, evocative color and clever, sensuous brushwork. But patrons are kind of hard to come by.
Maybe you like some wilderness. Huh?
What kind of wilderness?
Sit quiet, please.
Derek, sit still, for heaven's sake. You're being portrayed.
No.
The leopard savaging its prey.
Oh, no, I don't think so.
No, brutal realism.
I wouldn't mind some leopard cubs. Little fluffy ones, baby ones.
Well, I'm not so sure.
Very cultural, very saleable.
It sounds a little picaresque.
Exactly. I have a great many friends who would pay very highly.
How much?
Very handsomely indeed.
And I guess Grunbaum saw deceit as a legitimate weapon in the battle between art and the bourgeoisie, because eventually he consented to the trip that was to ruin his physique and make his name, with no apparent qualms or forebodings about either.
It is this kind of thing, yes?
What on earth is this, Grunbaum? Is this supposed to be Derek?
Yes, Mum.
Goodness, but you've made him look handsome.
Let me see it.
Don't let him see it.
Well,
go away, Derek.
Quite extraordinary. Mm.
Could you, do a little one of me before you go?
You see what I mean about biology? Where did Melissa come from? Looking at Gloria and Derek, you have to admit that it's a mystery.
At 17, she has ridden Arabian thoroughbreds bareback in the Transvaal.
How do you know, Gabby?
I have heard it from the German consul there.
I liked Gabriella Grunbaum the moment I met her.
Sounds exciting, yes?
Perhaps because she never tired of my favourite subject.
Melissa is quite some creation, no?
Yes, Gabby. She is quite some creation.
Gabby fed me life-giving morsels of gossip about Melissa's exploits abroad, and usually I lapped them up. But this was the first time she had taken a man with her.
Please don't marry Edward.
What?
Don't marry him, Melissa. You'll only regret it.
What are you talking about?
He doesn't love you.
Of course he loves me.
He loves Elizabeth.
Don't talk nonsense. It isn't true.
But, Melissa, of course it's true. He already lives with Elizabeth.
He doesn't live with her. They share an apartment.
What's the difference?
They're both my friends. We're all friends together.
Good.
And anyway, who said anything about marriage? I'm going to Africa with him, that's all.
Does Elizabeth know that yet?
Oh, be quiet, you vile child. Leave me alone. Go away.
All right, I'm going. And I'm not coming back.
Good. And make sure when you come back, you make yourself look half-decent, Joseph Blackie. Try not to look like a caretaker's son.
Frequent moments of despair. Of course, I didn't need Melissa to remind me of my station in life. Although, to tell the truth, my father seemed to have more influence over Gloria than Derek ever did. Biology again, perhaps?
Joseph! Joseph!
What is it, Mr. Clarkson?
Haven't seen my wife around, have you?
No, sir.
Oh, thank heavens. A moment's peace. Pass me that bottle, would you please, young man?
Yes, sir.
Marvellous stuff. Marvellous. Want a drop? No, I suppose you'd better not. How's your father?
He's fine.
Ooh. That's more like it.
You didn't hear that terrible commotion in the potting shed last night, Mr. Clarkson?
Bloody foxes again.
I expect so.
Dad took me swimming Saturdays for 16 years, and his strong limbs thrashed up and down the pool ahead of me until I was exhausted.
Come on, Joe! Keep up now, lad!
He once had a tryout for United, and my Auntie Chris told me he would have made it if Mum hadn't died. She said he only gave it up because of me.
Nonsense. I never would have made it anyway.
But Auntie Chris says he couldn't stand the succession of nannies, the hopeless teenagers and the lovelorn matrons fawning over me after Mother died. He took a position with the Clarksons, and we moved into the gatehouse. He never was much of a father, and he never was much of a mother. But he had given up his life to be there for me. And his eyes of clear blue shone out with honesty, even when his tongue tripped him up.
Where's Gloria, Joe?
In the potting shed.
I must have been 11, walking home after school one day, when I first heard the commotion in the potting shed. I thought maybe the foxes had got in again, so I went up to the rickety door and peered cautiously through the keyhole.
Fred! Fred!
Gloria!
Don't stop, Fred, don't stop!
Gloria, naked!
Oh, you're so beautiful!
Gloria in excelsis!
You're strong, Fred Black!
She seemed to be riding astride some wiry animal.
I love it!
Some creature trapped and writhing beneath her mountainous flesh.
Take me, don't stop! Take me!
And then I recognise my father's sweating arms, his big hands gripping her buttocks.
Glory! 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 Glory!
Don't stop! Don't stop!
I'm going to score!
Yes!
I'm going to score!
Yes!
Good!
Yes!
Score!
It's Gloria, dear.
Glory.
Oh, Blackie, you're an animal.
Bloody foxes again last night.
That was the year I started playing piano, and it was Gloria who paid for my lessons.
He's lovely, and he's all mine.
Well done, son. Your mother would be proud of you.
You don't think your right hand is just a little too, how shall I put it, too cantabile?
Edward, stop trying to be so bloody clever. Anyone can tell that Joe is a genius.
I'm not a genius, Melissa.
But Elizabeth plays a clarinet.
I think we all know that, Edward. Told us often enough.
He's very loyal.
Sylvia says Liz has a good chance of winning the Young Musicians next year.
Not exactly.
But didn't she, Liz?
Well, no.
You're trying to make me jealous, and I won't succumb.
Well, intelligent people don't get jealous. I never get jealous.
Why should you?
I've every reason to.
What reason to?
You hanging about with little squashed nose here.
Wait a minute.
Joseph is my friend. He's 5 years younger than me.
4 and a half?
How can you possibly feel jealous of Joe?
Thanks, Melissa. What I said to you, Melissa, was that I don't feel jealous of Joe. But if I did, then I'd have good reason to, considering...
Considering what?
Well, considering how much attention you give him when I'm only here for a couple of days.
Oh, I'm sorry you came, if that's how you feel. Maybe you should both just go home again.
No, don't be ridiculous.
Anything would be better than you coming here and making me cry all the time.
Oh, for goodness sake.
And so it went on. Tears before bedtime, making way for the sweetness of reconciliation.
Don't cry anymore.
Do you love me?
Yes.
Say, I love you.
I love you.
Oh, Edward, I love you.
Vomit. So, can I come to your room tonight?
Edward!
Oh, you're 21, Melissa. You promised me.
Not here, Edward. Not with my family.
Oh, your father snores all night.
I don't want to set Joe a bad example.
What?
Shh! I don't want to set Joe a bad example. He doesn't have a mother, you see.
So soft. He doesn't even live there.
He's staying the night.
What do you mean?
I promised him he could. Because it's my birthday.
Edward looks at Joe. Joe is studying the music. Is it possible for a cantabile to be two cantabile? Edward puts a hand up to his face and quite deliberately squashes his nose, knowing full well that Joe can see him.
You slimy git, little bastard.
What did you say?
A little faster. The adagio that Joe was playing, it should have been a little faster.
I thought it was lovely. Joe, why don't you play us something else?
Thank you.
gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, if I could have your attention, please. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Well, it's come to that time in the celebration, in this celebration of,
Melissa.
Oh, yes. Melissa's,
21st.
Right. 21st birthday. And my goodness, I mean, it hardly seems like yesterday when her mother and I, when we, well, it seems almost like yesterday. And yet it's not. In fact, now that I look back on it, it seems like eternity. Anyway, as I was saying, it is our very great duty and privilege to be able, as it were, to let go, cast off the reins, unleash the leash, as parents ought to do at the age of 65, or rather, 21. And in symbol of this casting off, I will ask you all to raise your glasses to that great continent, the source of all our dreams, and where, for some time now, the family has been lucky enough.
Derek.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. A toast. The dark continent. To Africa.
Africa.
To Melissa.
Melissa.
And to the elephants.
Of course, I knew nothing about elephants, as I think I may have mentioned. Even if I'd known about ivory and the price it paid, I might not have put two and two together. And even if I had done the arithmetic, I probably wouldn't have cared. Not that night. Not on that fateful night when Melissa's 21st birthday party was drawing to its close.
Goodbye, everyone. Derek!
Goodbye.
Come and help
me
say goodbye.
Oh, yes.
Are you ready now, Joe?
I'm staying, Dad. Mrs. Clarkson said I could stay the night.
Of course you are. Of course you are. Well, here, Summer. They better take these.
What's this, Dad?
It's a packet of...
Yes?
Prophylactics.
Oh, I see.
Mind you stay careful, Joe.
Good night, Dad.
Good night, son.
Good night, sweetie. Give me a kiss.
Good night, Melissa.
Why is she so smiling and happy? Has she finally said yes to the sleaze bag, Edward? Surely not. My eyes, a little glazed, search round for my enemy. But he's nowhere in sight. I push my bedroom door to without closing it. The lights go out. The house grows quiet and begins to creak a little, the way old houses will.
Good night, children.
I wait until the last good night has been said and the last light has gone out. And then I wait some more. Noises from the potting shed. For once, those familiar tunes can pass me by. Tonight, my battle lies elsewhere. And as soon as it's safe, I pull open the door and tiptoe noiselessly down the corridor and up the stairs. Shh! Together, we climb to the top of the house where Melissa's room is. My heart pounds. I'm sweating. I pause for a moment. I can hear their breathing through the door. What if I'm already too late? I would die if I'm already too late. There's nothing for it. I have to put a stop to it. I push open the door, pull on the light switch, and ridiculously I cry,
Edward Macclethwaite, you're under arrest.
What is it? What's happening?
Melissa, where's Edward?
Edward? Joseph, what time is it? What are you doing in my bedroom?
I thought Edward would be here.
Joseph Blackie, explain yourself.
I thought that...
What did you think?
Melissa, come quickly.
What is it?
Quickly.
For heaven's sake.
What else could I do?
I think the foxes are in the potting shed again.
What other options were open to me?
Are you sure?
There's a terrible commotion down there.
Well, let's go and see. We'll have to shoo them out again. Fetch a stick.
An uneasy sense of betrayal contorts my face into a smile.
Noise.
Maybe it's the foxes.
It doesn't sound like a Gloria noise. On the other hand, it doesn't sound like Dad either. Maybe it really is the foxes. And yet, as we get a little closer, I can make out the breathing noises.
Sorry, Dad.
Ready with that stick.
You bet.
I close my eyes as Melissa grips the door handle firmly to wrench it open. I open them when I hear her startled gasp and the tenor solo cut suddenly short.
You!
And there she is.
You bitch!
The clarinet player.
Elizabeth.
Her lips still moist from playing on that instrument.
Oh, God.
And what a tune she's elicited from it.
You bastard, Edward.
The instrument itself still steaming in the cool night air.
I can explain.
I told you he's a sleazebag.
You shut your lip!
Get out. Get out of here, both of you. Get out of here. Get out, get out, get out!
The two of them scrabbling for their clothes. Melissa wrenching the stick from my hands and beating the shed door with it like a drum. An upstairs window opens.
What the devil?
Come, or I'll shoot!
Run or I'll hit you!
Stop, I say! Stop this minute!
Melissa, don't be stupid. Don't do anything stupid,
get
please.
Get out of here. Do you hear me? Run!
And off they set across the lawn, still half naked, with the floodlights streaming on them now.
Slime ball! Sleaze bag!
And Derek leaning out of the window with his shotgun.
I'm warning you!
Shoot, Father! Shoot the thieves!
Damn it! Miss!
Sugar in your cocoa, Joe?
Yes, please, Mrs. Clarkson.
If it hadn't been for Joe...
You're a fine young man, just like your father.
I used to be a much better shot. I can't understand it.
Do stop mooching around.
I think I'll,
Go back to bed.
Go back to bed.
Night, Mr. Clarkson.
Night, Joe.
Well... This leaves us with something of a problem, doesn't it, Melissa?
What do you mean?
I mean, about Africa.
Don't be silly, Mummy.
Well, who's going to take Edward's place?
Joseph is.
So there you have it.
Joseph?
Yes. Joe must come with me to Africa.
Quite accidentally, in the jaws of impending disaster, the knight had turned victorious. Edward and his clarinet would never now gain access to the Holy Grail. But Joe, still only 16, a boy with no mother and only half a father, a piano player, a dilettante, a peeper through keyholes, a novice in the art of life, had overcome insuperable odds. And in reward, without ever having hoped for so much in life, was going where he most longed to go with the person he most longed to be with. And already, in the chill Berkshire kitchen of the Clarkson country home, his heart was soaring majestically into skies of equatorial blue. What I most remember of the night on which Grumbaum lost his arm was its unearthly stillness.
You still awake, Hans? Why is it so quiet?
Oh, why is it so hot?
I shared a tent with Grumbaum. Melissa slept with Gabby. Derek's man, Moses, slept in the jeep.
Don't want bloody black man steal white man truck.
You boys will feel more comfortable being together.
Melissa...
Don't argue, Joe. There's no need to be a martyr on my account.
Maybe Hans and Gabby want to sleep together.
Why?
They're married.
That means they probably want to sleep apart. Am I right, Gabby?
Well, you know, I'm not so fussy.
You see?
One way or the other.
But you like Hans.
Of course, he's my husband.
There you are.
Well, it won't kill me not sleeping with him.
There you are.
She's being gracious, Melissa.
Then you can't possibly turn her down.
In fact, she'd love to sleep with Hans.
Don't argue with me, Joe.
She misses his rough, Germanic body in her bed.
Oh, Joseph, you are terrible.
But it's true. It's true, Melissa. Isn't it, Gabby?
Well, you know.
And it must have been a little bit true.
He's gone. He's gone.
Because I stumbled across them one day.
Be gently, oh, my neighbor.
In flagrante delicto.
Joseph!
As the saying goes.
Gabby.
Yes, yes, so heiß, the sun, so heiß, so...
Shh, mein Lieber.
eyes showed me a mixture of amusement and concern. How was I taking this spectre of animality? But of course, this was already my third copulation, and I crept away before Hans could recover his sensibilities.
How about the other day, Joseph?
Yes, Gabby?
Between the husband and the wife is many things beautiful.
Good.
What good?
You mean he liked it?
Of course.
Good.
You funny boy, you know that? You make me laugh.
Yes. As long as you were enjoying yourself.
Shush!
Shh! Hans is working now.
It's not quite like he was working before.
You wicked child! Wicked, wicked, wicked!
We were natural conspirators, Gabby and I.
Oh, so heiß! Oh, so heiß! Oh, so heiß!
Ruhe, um Gottes Willen! Quiet! Trying to find this damn picaresque.
Grimbaum was always absorbed in his canvases, working with furious brushstrokes, desperate to capture the energy which flowed out of Africa and through his hands. And as for Melissa...
Gabby, look! There's something in the water.
It's a leopardess!
What's happening to Melissa, Gabby?
Melissa is a creation from the wild. In the wilderness, she is reverberating to her type.
Funny how Gabriella always had the right words.
She's turning into a leopard.
She's very beautiful.
She was a mottled, sinewy creature, her hair a glorious mane, her blue eyes hungry for Africa, clinging to the rock face like a predator as she drew herself out of the river. Shaking herself to throw off the water, I can still see her standing there with her face turned up to the sun. Eyes closed, exhaling.
If I was Hans, I'd paint Melissa.
Hans wants to paint the wilderness.
Melissa is the wilderness.
I think you'll love Melissa, yes?
Love her?
A little bit. No? You love her slyly.
Maybe.
Little Joseph, you must be careful.
What do you mean?
The leopard is a dangerous creation.
How does the leopard mate, Gabby?
Like a man and woman. Same basic thing.
Like you and Hans?
Well?
Does she mate for life?
The leopard? No. She waits and waits, and when she's ready, she chooses. And then, when she made it, and all the little leopards is gone, then she chases him away. Get out! Shoo! No more use.
She's a sperm stealer.
But this man leopard, he doesn't want to stay. He's got some other fishes to fry. Always come and go in the wilderness.
Always come and go in the wilderness. And so I lay there thinking about leopards, while Hans snored next to me, and flung his wiry limbs out of the bedclothes in an effort to evade the heat. Perhaps I had only just fallen asleep when Hans's rumbling snores took on a more sinister note. But in my dream state, the leopard did not wake me. Perhaps I simply confused it with Melissa.
Hans! Hans! Hans, what is it? Help! Help! Help me! Help!
What is it? What's happening?
It's Hans! The leopard's taken his arm!
Hans! Hans, turn back! It's more! Melissa, come quickly to save him!
Give me your shirt. Point me the first aid. Tranquilizers. Tell Moses to start the jeep.
Moses, start the jeep.
Fate has an undeniably cruel streak. Given a choice, I am sure that Grimbaum would have sacrificed a leg, or even two legs, or perhaps his other arm, the left one, or indeed all three, to assuage the hungry leopard and the angry gods. Fate held a richer irony in store. What she took, of course, to make her meal on, or perhaps to carry off for some of Mrs. Clarkson's drawing-room cubs to make their meal on, was not a leg or even two legs, nor was it his other arm. What the leopard made off with, of course, was his right arm, his painting arm.
Paints! Paints!
fashion my face.
Mein Liebling, oh. Schweige dich so. Sei ruhig.
Cover his head, Gabby. Oh. Keep the sun off him.
And despite Melissa's vicious tourniquet, I watched in horror throughout that interminably hot and dusty day as Grumbaum slowly turned from a healthy, sunburnt red to the color of bleached sawdust.
Excellency! Simon, oh.
Can't you drive any faster, Moses?
Yes, Missa.
Stop!
Since they call bloody white man home.
How far is it?
Not far.
We are almost there, my love.
This is it.
It was almost dark, maybe 16 hours after the accident, when we finally reached the small French desert hospital.
This way, quickly! I have an injured man here.
What has happened?
Tell Dr. Poincaré that Melissa Clarkson is here.
Yes, I'll fetch the doctor.
Joseph, go with this nurse. She'll find you somewhere to sleep. Carefully, carefully!
His arm is torn. A leopard, perhaps. Poor man is a painter.
For half a day, while the French surgeon fought to save Grumbaum's life and his stump of shoulder, I succumbed to sweet oblivion. Gabriella and I were swimming together in a cool, clear pool overshadowed by rich green foliage. Grumbaum painted Melissa, left-handedly. She was bathed in a glorious golden light on an open plain high above a restless ocean.
Joseph.
Hmm?
Some coffee, mein Lieber.
What time is it?
Hurry up, Joseph. We're leaving in 1 hour.
Is Hans going to die?
Hans is going to live, God sei Dank. Oh, Joseph, I'm going to miss you.
Where are you going?
I am staying here. It is you and Melissa which is going.
Me and Melissa?
And Moses. Oh, be careful about the leopards.
I'm going to miss you, Gabby.
Of course.
Come along, Moses. How's the engine?
Big, strong, white engine.
Would you mind driving for a while?
Yes, Misa.
Bye-bye, Gabby. See you in England.
Sei vorsichtig, Josef. Look out for the leopards.
But it wasn't the leopards that were to threaten our peace of mind for the remainder of the trip.
Find the map, Joe. We're heading for the ocean.
It was the elephants.
Why not?
Missa?
Yes, Moses, what is it?
Okay, Moses, go walk.
Of course, Moses. You go wherever you want. Don't be late for leaving. 7:30 sharp.
Yes, Missa.
Good night, Moses.
Not very.
I'm sorry.
Good night, little white master.
Moses?
Just use the one, I think.
What?
One tent, I mean.
You mean?
We'll sleep in the same tent. I think it would be wiser in the circumstances.
Whatever you say.
You know it doesn't mean anything.
It means we're sleeping in the same tent together?
Yes, of course. But it doesn't mean anything other than that.
What sort of other than that?
Any sort of other than that.
Other than what?
Sleeping, Joseph, for goodness sake.
Just asking.
And as I crept into the tent each night, a careful period of time after Melissa had gone to bed, I would softly whisper her name.
Melissa? Are you awake?
And she would turn gently away from me.
Good night, Joe.
Taking care to leave extended no part of the anatomy that might tempt the hunger of any predator, animal or human, to pursue a closer acquaintance.
Good night, Melissa.
Leaving me lying awake long into the night, longing for Gabby's wisdom.
Patience, Joseph. In the wilderness must have everything its perfect timing.
Good night, Gabby.
And trying not to contemplate the incessant motion of the leopards who prowled hungrily about the tent.
Good night, leopards.
It was the fifth day when Moses vanished.
What do you mean, vanished?
He's gone. The moose skedaddled.
He can't have done.
But there seemed little doubt of it. We looked everywhere. We waited almost a day for him.
How could he do this to us?
He doesn't like us, Melissa.
What are you talking about? I've known him since I was 7.
How old is he?
Oh.
How many children does he have?
I don't know.
What do you know about him?
Well,
you see?
He wouldn't harm us, Joe.
Of course not. What are we going to do?
We'll go on, of course. We're quite capable of managing on our own.
And since that's the way Melissa wanted it, that's the way it was. On the 7th day, we came within sight of the ocean at about sunset. It was the day before my 17th birthday. A birthday I will never forget.
Good night, Melissa.
Good night, Joseph.
Good night, leopards. What?
It is dark. Pitch black. My heart is pounding.
Melissa! Melissa, there's something outside. Wake up! I think there's something outside.
What?
I think there's something outside the tent.
Are you sure?
I don't know. I thought I heard something.
Where's Moses?
He's gone.
Oh, where's the gun?
It's in the Land Rover.
Oh, damn.
What are we going to do?
Let's take a look.
I'll go.
You're not dressed.
Neither are you.
No. You look then.
I creep forwards to the doorway of the tent. The mosquito net hovers lightly, shifting and rustling in the faintest of night breezes.
Can you see anything?
I lift a corner of the doorway flap. And there, in the gradual lightening of the African dawn, on a high plain overlooking the restless ocean, I see it.
See what, Joseph?
The elephant's foot.
What? What is it doing?
It isn't doing anything. It's just there. For what seems like eternity, I stare at it. The questions running raggedly through my mind. What should I do? Can I frighten it? Can I shoo it away like we did with the foxes?
How heavy is an elephant?
How fast can it move?
What does it want from me?
Do elephants sit down?
Do elephants roll over?
I am sure, as I consider it, that they do. Isn't that just the sort of quaint drawing room picture Gloria would have hands paint for her bridge circle accomplices? Except that those would be baby elephants, rolling on open grass, immaculately mown and softened by Hans's fraudulent brushstrokes.
I don't like bloody picaresque.
The sort of elephants that would entice from little old ladies a whimper of maternal affection, whereas this elephant...
Joe?
This elephant is enormous. There's nothing soft or playful about it. Its skin is hard and leathery, tough as old boots, and caked with the mud of Africa.
Joe!
I feel a cool hand on my back.
Joseph, what is it?
I turn round to face her.
What is it? What's out there?
Nothing.
Joseph, you didn't.
Are you sure?
There's nothing there.
You wicked boy.
Come back to bed.
Her hand moves across my shoulder, down my arm, and then it stops. In the dim light, I catch the glint of her eyes, moist and wide.
Joseph.
For a long time, we are both perfectly still. I should say all three of us are still. There isn't a peek from the elephant.
Joseph.
Melissa.
I reach out my hand and touch her soft, smooth skin.
Oh, my goodness.
Melissa. Oh. So this is it?
Yes, little Joseph.
Hold me.
This is really it?
Hold me. Don't let me go.
So, this is what 17 is like.
You funny boy. You make me laugh.
Joseph, hold me.
I'm holding you, Melissa.
Hold me tighter.
Yes.
Kiss me again. Again. Kiss me again.
Yes.
Hold me. Kiss me. Touch me.
Suddenly she is the warmest, the most passionate. Suddenly she is a leopardess, grasping at me, pulling herself onto me, abandoning herself.
Oh, Joseph, don't ever let me go. Don't leave me. Don't ever leave me. Don't abandon me. Forgive me.
Don't forsake me. Don't leave me. Don't abandon me. Forgive me. Forgive me. Forgive me. Forgive me.
By the time I awoke, the sun was bathing everything in a glorious golden light. Melissa was outside washing.
Hello, Joseph.
Hello, Melissa.
Oh, isn't it beautiful?
It's lovely.
Isn't it just too beautiful?
It was my birthday.
I wish I could have been there to celebrate.
But we were wrong, Gabby. We were terribly wrong. Even in the moment of us standing there, bathed in beauty, ugliness was propagating itself around us.
What is it?
I don't know.
It was well past midday when I stopped the Land Rover on a hill overlooking a wide plain.
Looks like rocks.
No.
Animals?
Elephants.
Elephants? What are they all doing?
Why don't they move?
There were perhaps 20 or 30 of them, maybe more. Some big, some only infants, sprawled in various attitudes across the brown earth, apparently asleep or...
Melissa?
What?
I think they're dead.
No!
All these elephants. I don't believe it.
No. No, no, it isn't true. It isn't true.
I don't understand. Who could have done this?
See, it isn't true.
But it was true. All of the elephants were dead. Every single one of them. Old grandmotherly elephants, big rogue elephants, little baby elephants, all strewn about the plain like heavy, cumbersome boulders, and their brown blood caked across the African earth. It was several minutes before the truth of it hit me.
Ivory.
No, don't say that word.
Ivory poachers.
No, 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 don't say it. It isn't true.
But it was true. Every elephant carried the telltale marks of the chainsaw's ruthless efficiency. The tusks were gone, who knows where, already on their way across the seas, perhaps to one of Derek's illegal warehouses. Out of Africa and into the affluent north, for ornaments and ashtrays and, yes, and piano keys.
Compare it, compare it.
There's nothing we can do.
God help me, oh God help me.
There's nothing either of us can do.
No, 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 no.
Melissa, Melissa. Please don't cry anymore. There's nothing we can do, Melissa.
Joseph.
I know, I know.
I said I knew, but it was not me that was staring suddenly into a hideous void. I tried to comfort her, and at the same time, a kind of uneasiness began to settle on me as the shadows lengthened.
We should go.
I can't.
They may still be around somewhere.
I can't go anywhere.
We have to, Melissa, we have to go on. Melissa?
It must have been almost dusk when I looked up suddenly to see a man with a rifle watching us.
Moses! Moses, what are you doing here?
See, little missa.
What are you doing with that gun?
AK-47, very good gun.
Do you know what's been going on here?
Moses, very good man. Right-hand man.
What are you talking about?
See, Mr. Derek, he pick cash. No problem.
What the devil are you talking about?
Nature is a delicate business, Joe.
I talking my people. My people, very good people.
I want to know about these elephants, Moses.
Big black white man guns make boom, boom, boom. 1 kilo ivory, $200. Buy nice clothes, Sony Walkman, pet shop boys, just like TV.
Do you know who's killed these elephants, Moses?
You like elephants?
Who's killed them, Moses?
You like black man or just you like elephants?
Did you kill these elephants, Moses?
Yes, yes. Big, strong Moses man, eh? No need gun. All by himself, kill 50, 100 elephants.
It isn't funny, for God's sake.
Oh, yes. Very, very isn't funny.
You have nice holiday?
What the hell?
Nice holiday, yes? Mr. Derek Pay. AK-47 make boom boom. Mr. Derek Pay. Elephant's dead. Mr. Derek Pay. This my country. Mr. Derek Pay. Johnny Walker, cash in hand, Marlboro cigarettes, just like America.
Moses.
I think you made your point, Moses.
Not my point. Mr. Derek point. White man point.
This isn't a white thing, Moses. This isn't a black man, white man thing.
It's never no black man thing.
This is about humanity and dignity and respect for nature. Respect, Moses, respect for the world.
White man world.
Oh, Moses!
Poor Missa. Poor Missa.
How long has this been going on?
Long time.
How long?
Long, long, long time going on.
I can't bear it.
Poor Missa.
Moses?
Yes.
What are we going to do?
Help Moses carry Missa.
She didn't resist as we lifted her up from the brown earth and set her in the Land Rover.
No more cry, Missa. No more cry.
Where shall we go, Moses?
Go safe. Go, no bloody black man find you.
Are you coming with us?
Got Moses' business. Busy business.
Thank you for coming back, Moses.
Very good right-hand man. Go now. Quick!
I slipped in the clutch to take us away from that terrible killing ground, and I drove us to the only place I could think of. Back to the city, to the airport, to the departure lounge, out of there. Home, wherever home was. Away from it. Away from Africa. Away from the light, the wide plains, the cool river. Away from Moses, away from the leopards, and away from the elephants. By the time we arrived in London, Melissa had found some kind of composure. In fact, there was something almost angelic about her. Gloria noticed it immediately.
Oh, good heavens above, how well you look!
Thank you, Mother.
I just don't know how you managed to survive.
Joe looked after me.
I always said he was a capable fellow.
Thank you, Mum.
Just like his father.
I could tell there was some kind of question in that remark, but I thought it best to steer clear of it.
Oh, steer clear of these trolleys, Joseph. There are so many bloody foreigners all over the place these days.
Crying out loud, Mother.
What?
Don't you have any shame?
Hey, what are you talking about? What is she talking about?
For a long time, after that terrible journey home, I felt as though we were living in some kind of limbo. No man's land, a temporary haven. I kept looking for signs of the old days.
Can you see any wrinkles?
Days that seemed so frivolous, so carefree.
You're beautiful, Melissa. You're beautiful.
I desperately wanted everything to just return to the normal.
See Mrs. Cluxon, Joe?
I think she's in the potting shed.
Good man.
Haven't seen my wife anywhere, Joseph.
Not recently, Mr. Clarkson.
Saints be praised. Don't say I said so.
And because to some extent they did return to the normal, I mean, I think I was lulled into a false sense of security.
I'm sure I don't know what's wrong with the girl. Why won't she talk to us, Derek? I said, why won't Melissa... Oh, for goodness sake, what's the point? Your father about anywhere, Joseph?
Potting shed.
Good boy. Get on with your practice, will you? We do so love to hear you play.
It still seems odd to me that I miss the warning signs altogether.
Bye-bye, Melissa, darling. Now, do look after yourself. Perhaps Joe would like to come and have supper with you.
Joseph isn't here anymore.
Don't be silly, dear. Of course he's here. He'll be back later.
Joseph doesn't love me anymore.
You know that isn't true, Melissa.
For goodness sake, woman. Are we going to this blasted opera, or are we just sitting in the belly drive all night?
Oh, do belt up, Derek. Now, please, please, look after yourself, Melissa.
Cold out tonight, Joe.
Freezing.
I suppose I was spending more time with Dad because Melissa was so unreachable. And I think, in a funny kind of way, he appreciated it.
Sometimes I think about your poor mother, Joe.
Was she very ill before she died?
I blame myself, you know. Because I didn't realise how unhappy she was.
Why was she unhappy?
I don't know.
It wasn't your fault, Dad. There was nothing you could do.
I don't know.
Listen.
What? The devil?
It's the manor. Look, the manor's on fire.
Oh, my God. Lord. Quick, Joe. Call the fire brigade. Bring my ladder.
Gloria!
She's not in there, Dad.
Oh, Gloria.
They're all at the opera.
Is Melissa home?
Melissa.
Wait!
Let go of me!
Spray me with that hose, Joe. Go on! Spray me!
She's going to burn to death, Dad.
Just don't argue, Joe. Just spray me with a goddamn hose. That's it. Now, keep the doorway wet as you can. As wet as you can.
Good luck.
And I watched that giant of a man disappear like a coal into the furnace of the mansion.
Dad! Dad, where are you?
Keep spraying the hose,
Joe! My father! My father's in there!
Stand back there, young man. Scatter away now.
To my father!
Don't worry, son. If there's anyone left alive in there, we'll have them out in no time.
But they never had time to bring anyone out of that raging inferno.
Dad!
Because my father...
Dad! Lisa!
My father.
Stand back there. Let them breathe. Oxygen, Jeff. Quickly, man.
My father.
Oh, sweet Jesus, Mary, Mother of God, deliver us out of the burning fiery furnace.
It's okay, Dad. It's all right.
Are you here, Joe? You better get the hell out of here.
You're safe, Dad. You're safe. You rescued her. I did. I rescued her.
Listen here, men. Carefully. Don't crowd. Let's get some oxygen to her.
I rescued her. Let's...
They finally started rebuilding the mansion, although Gloria swears she will never return.
I can't, Fred. I simply couldn't. Sometimes I feel it was divine retribution.
It wasn't, Gloria. It was Melissa.
Don't say that. I won't hear it.
It was Melissa. There isn't really any doubt about that. And in a warped and twisted way, I can see Melissa's logic, even though it was too late to save any elephants.
Melissa?
The worst thing is that Melissa is the one who got most badly burned.
Melissa, can you hear me?
Not physically, of course.
Do you know who I am, Melissa?
Who are you?
Melissa, look. I've brought someone to see you.
Hello, Melissa. And how is our leopardess?
Gabby and Hans are staying in the West Wing, which is almost finished. It is wonderful to see her again. Although Hans is now completely mad.
Gabby!
History, as I think I was saying, repeats itself. First with the right hand, and then with the left.
Hans is famous now. Have you seen his pictures?
I saw the one of Melissa.
Ah, yes. The famous leopard woman. What seems to be a mythical creature standing on an African plain bathed in glorious gold.
It was my 17th birthday.
Josef.
Hmm?
You did your best.
I don't know.
You must try to be happy now.
Happy? Are you happy?
We are ordinary peoples, Josef, you and me. We constructed our lives in ordinary ways. That is why we are lucky. We can look at the world, but not seeing it. We can see the most terrible things and go on to live. Why? Because we do not letting this world inside. Melissa is not so lucky.
Gabriella.
Yes, Josef.
You know I love you.
Of course.
Come and sit by me.
You are very sweet. Listen to him.
Give me a kiss.
Funny boy. You make me laugh, you know that?
History repeats itself.
Again. First with the father, and then with the son.
You taste good.
More.
In a slow spiral of degenerating farce.
Wo ist mein Arm?
Black farce.
Don't take no notice, kiss me.
Oh, Gabriella.
Why do I feel as though we're living in a twilight world?
Oh, Josef, kiss me. So long I have waited for this.
Caught off balance, waiting for clemency, searching still for one small grain of wisdom beneath the ultimatum of the elephant's foot.
So sweet. So sweet.
All I know is, when Melissa comes back, I want to be here to welcome her.
In The Elephant's Foot by Tim Jackson, Alex Jennings played Joseph and Henry Power, young Joe. Teresa Gallagher was Melissa, with Linda Marlowe as Gloria and Ronald Fraser as Derek. Elaine Claxton was Gabriella and Peter Whitman, Hans. Fred was played by Steve Hodson and Moses by George Harris. Other parts were played by Nicholas Bolton, Rachel Atkins and Una Beeson. The pianist was Mary Nash, and the director was Janet Whittaker.